Okay, the following is an archive of a special broadcast that was aired first on September 25th, 06. The subject matter was tourism, and I hope you enjoy. Again, this is brought to you by the Area Guides Network and Area Radio, arearadio.com. Enjoy.
Don't know why I didn't come when I saw the break of day.
Okay, that's Nora Jones, Don't Know Why I Didn't Come. And that's kind of appropriate to segue into our tourism show here. You're going to say you don't know why you didn't come if you don't come to Frederick County, Maryland. And we're here with John Fiesler from the Department of Tourism. Say hi.
Hey, Greg.
Is that your official name? What's the official name?
We're actually the Tourism Council of Frederick County.
Okay. And now, before we get into this in detail, I've got a little clip from the governor of the state of Maryland. He was here at the Great Frederick Fair, which is another fun annual event that happens here in Frederick. And he had a few things to say about tourism in detail, actually. You can take a look. This is just a short snipe that I'm going to play now, but you can see the whole video if you go to frederick.com, keyword GOP, or put in Bob Ehrlich and you'll find it, and you'll see the whole video there. But I'm just going to play this little clip here, and then we'll comment on it.
The following is an audio clip from a portion of an interview done when the governor of Maryland visited the Great Frederick Fair. You can see the entire video of this interview on frederick.com, keyword GOP, frederick.com, keyword GOP. Without further ado, this is Governor Bob Ehrlich.
Thank you. Good to see you too.
Governor, can you just quickly wrap up? You've been here all afternoon. Obviously, as you just mentioned, you were really well received here today, and it looks like you've got a lot of momentum and so forth. Any final comments for the visitors to Frederick.com? By the way, we have about 40,000 unique visitors a month.
Well, I want to encourage many even more visitors to Frederick.com first.
2.5 minutes.
We love visiting this county. There's so much to do and see.
Well, now there you have it from the governor of Maryland himself saying that more people should go to Frederick.com, and we think that's a good thing. Again, you can see the entire video of this interview on frederick.com, keyword GOP, or put in Bob Ehrlich. We hope you enjoyed this audio clip. Okay, now we're back live here at Tourism. And what is the website address again for your?
www.fredericktourism.org.
Okay. Now, you heard the governor. He said that more people should visit Frederick County, and come here to tour. He comes here often himself. He likes to play golf here and so on. Can you go into a little bit about the attraction of Frederick County and in general why people would come here, and then maybe some specifics?
Well, the first part of answering the question, why do people visit the city of Frederick and Frederick County, is a question, which is where are they coming from? Because the distance that they travel really determines why they come here. So there's really different answers. When you look at the most immediate region, our visitors come because of downtown Frederick and the many shopping and dining opportunities. Very often they'll come without a particular restaurant as a destination, but just because they know there's going to be a great place to eat when they get here, and maybe they'll stroll around and see what the specials are that day, do some window shopping in some of the stores while they're here. And so downtown Frederick in itself is the county's largest destination, and it's nice because it's a diverse destination. It's not just one entity. As you get a little bit further away, the metropolitan regions, we'll get a lot of folks that come in addition to the shopping and dining opportunities. They want to come and visit our museums, cultural activities. But the outdoor recreation is a big, big draw within, you know, the Baltimore, Washington metropolitan areas.
Such as Baker Park, events?
Well, events in Baker Park or along Carroll Creek Park now that we have that. But also the mountains. When you think about it, you can walk halfway around Frederick County on nationally and internationally known trails between the C&O Canal towpath and the Appalachian Trail. We get a lot of folks that come up here just for that. It's easy to take for granted when it's in your backyard, but we get a lot of folks that will come up here, whether it's mountain biking or camping or hiking, all those kinds of ing activities, fishing, and so that's a big draw. And also for that same audience, some of the things like our orchards and farm markets are a big draw within the metropolitan region. Then as you get further away, that's where increasingly we see it narrow down to history. that'll be a big draw. If folks are interested in the Civil War, they'll travel halfway across the country to get to this region.
Sure.
And we get a lot of folks for that, or some of the religious sites, National Shrine of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton or the National Shrine Grotto of Lourdes, draw people from all over the world to the northern part of Frederick County.
Now, do you have information on most of the things that you mentioned and destinations and so forth on your website?
We do, and increasingly, as you certainly know, the Internet is how folks find information, particularly when they're planning a trip. It's the fastest way to get it now. We still get lots of requests for printed pieces, and people, you know, like to be able to take the time and flip through a visitor guide. But increasingly, the way they're requesting that is by getting on the website first, so they do have a chance to see what's here and then decide if this is a place they want to come visit.
Sure. Now, big annual events. I personally like the In the Street Festival, which is coming up here shortly. Baker Park, 4th of July, is huge here. Do those draw people from other areas?
The special events, and Frederick County is blessed with a great many of them. I mean, I had always known that, but perhaps not as appreciated it as much as I do now that I'm in this job, and I kind of see the calendar of events from other areas and realize just how rich a calendar of events we have here. But for the most part, special events are a pretty close-in draw. I mean, it's local residents and maybe the immediate region. We are fortunate that we have some big, long-running events that do draw folks from a greater distance. Catoctin Color Fest is another one, same time frame as In the Street, where, you know, it's been running for decades. Folks know about it. Perhaps they lived here and moved away, or were here at some point in the past and do return for some of those. The Maryland Christmas Show at the fairgrounds, again, another big event that will draw people from a distance. And mixed in with that, we have lots of local fall festivals or spring or summer activities that do mainly attract folks from the local
area. And by the way, we did talk about the Great Frederick Fair, also obviously a big event that I'm sure draws people from Montgomery County and other areas around. I have to mention the PPF fundraiser that they're having there the 30th of this month, I believe. That's a great organization that Debbie Williams is involved with, and you'll find it actually on the ticker on Frederick.com. On our news ticker, we have a little link to information about that. If you get a chance on the 30th, that would be a really fun special event to go to, and that's another example of like you say, rich events on the events calendars. And some days you have two major events the same day, and you have to kind of pick which one you're going to go to.
Well, particularly in the fall, lots of folks will try to schedule their events on spring or fall weekends, and there's only so many of those. You know, we used to get calls here at the Tourism Council for people looking for an open date in October, on a Saturday in October, and that's just not going to happen. So it's not uncommon. Matter of fact, I haven't really added it up for this year, but in recent years, the first weekend of October has been the busiest weekend of the entire year, with the number of festivals and major events that happen. But it's a very popular reason to come, you know, to our communities to see all that there is to see. The Great Frederick Fair, of course, is legendary and does attract folks that still want to see an agricultural-based fair. You know, there are a lot of other opportunities for carnivals and the like, but the Great Frederick Fair has proven itself over the centuries at this point, and certainly one of the things that helps maintain the distinct character of Frederick County as a community.
Now, you mentioned In the Street also. It is, I think, the 7th of October, which is right around that time frame you were talking about, that everybody wants an open weekend. And that is definitely an event, if you're listening to this broadcast, that I highly recommend, because it's really a diverse event. There's something for everybody. It's a day-long event, and as the day progresses, I guess it goes more towards adult, you know, in the evening and so forth, and then a lot of things for the children in the earlier part of the day, a nice parade to kick things off, and I think there's even a road race, a running race.
The Market Street Mile. Had, you know, since the very first year, I think it was 1983, been a big part of In the Street. To be honest, I've lost track of the specifics for this current year. But that, again, something that, an event within an event that attracted folks far and wide to participate in that event. In the Street really started out as a celebration of the rebuilding of Market Street. It had been torn up in the early 80s and completely rebuilt. And so for a while, it was like a step back into history because you could see the different layers of Frederick's progress by looking at a cross section of the road when they were, you know, ripping it out down to the bare dirt, right?
Wow.
Down to, you know, the brick pavers that were in there at the turn of the previous century. I think right on down to logs in the mud, you know,
wow,
the earliest. So that was kind of neat, but it was a mess and certainly a hardship for the downtown merchants to have Market Street completely torn up down to
the
dirt.
And when did that happen, roughly?
They finished it about middle of 1983, I think, and the city, Ron Young was the mayor then, and came up with In the Street as a way to thank the downtown merchants and residents. So it really started out as a block party to thank them for their patience during this major road construction, reconstruction, and it has taken off from there. That spawned the City Office of Special Events. You mentioned Frederick's Fourth. I think that that very first year, the holiday activities, there was an early start at getting some special holiday activities, and then the next year, 1984, would have been the first of Frederick's Fourth celebrations, and then all the other things that are coordinated by that office grew from that, but in the, it started within the street.
Well, now, we can't show you photos from the In the Streets rack in 1983, 1984, but if you go to Frederick.com and put in keyword In the Street, you will see hundreds of photos of the In the Street Festival from the last 4 or 5 years, so you can kind of go along year by year and see the differences. It's actually very similar each year, the years that I've covered it. It's been a great event and generally great weather.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we probably shouldn't say that without knocking on
wood.
That's
right. Knock on wood. Even when there's been rain, it's typically, you know, in the fall, you don't really get the, again, we should knock on wood, but you don't get the day-long rain out. You might get a little bit of rain in the morning, but by afternoon, the sun's out. So
exactly. I can remember a couple of years that I was bringing the convertible here for the parade, and it was sprinkling in the morning when I was driving up, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, and then it just clears right up. So that does happen sometimes. Now, we talked about downtown Frederick. We talked about In the Street. You touched a little bit on the hiking and things like the Catoctin Mountains, the area up around Camp David, and so on and so forth. Any other specific draws that you mentioned Civil War. Why don't we go a little bit more into Civil War for those that are listening that are just kind of new to history, younger folks or whatever, what they could expect if they came to Frederick with regard to the Civil War history?
Well, Frederick County has, you know, a rich history that goes back to the middle of the 18th century, and so folks will sometimes say, why all the focus on Civil War? Why don't we talk about the French and Indian War, the American Revolution, or the War of 1812, certainly with Francis Scott Key buried here. We've got our connections to that. But without a doubt, since about the early 1990s, the Civil War has been the greatest area of interest among the general public, and I recently heard where even worldwide that interest in the Civil War is becoming one of the largest affinity groups. It's right up there with gardening and things
wow.
like that in terms of how people associate themselves with an activity. And, you know, that goes back to the Ken Burns series on public TV, the movie Glory, some of the other things that happened at about that same time really gave the latest jolt. There's always been an interest in Civil War history, but it's been expanding among the general public, you know, for the last 15, 16 or so years. And when you look at what happened during the Civil War, Frederick County really was in the heart of it. Obviously, you know, no matter where folks grow up, they learn about the Mason-Dixon line and think that the North started above the Mason-Dixon line, and they forget that the South didn't start to below the Potomac. And within Maryland, as a border state, we have a lot of compelling stories about what it was literally to have brother against brother.
Sure.
Within the same household, just a couple of doors from where we sit today, down Church Street, there was a family literally divided, where the husband and one of the sons, I forget whether they were pro-Union or pro-Confederacy, but they favored one side and the other two sons favored the other, and they sort of divvied up the house where, you know, the second floor was pro-Union, the third floor was pro-Confederate, and the first floor was neutral territory, so they didn't discuss it at dinner and somehow got through it. And it impacted Frederick in a major way. We're very fortunate to have the National Museum of Civil War Medicine located here, because even though we had major troop movements through here and we had a battle in 1864 that's known as the battle that saved Washington down at Monocacy, the story that really is with Frederick from day one till after the war is over is the medical treatment of the wounded or the ill. One of the stories you can learn at the National Museum of Civil War Medicine. Figure as many as 8,000 to 10,000 wounded soldiers recuperating, you know, hobbling around our streets when that was the population of the town. So
wow.
For every man,
so
woman, and child.
So doubled the population
exactly,
of the town.
For every man, woman, and child here, there was also a wounded soldier recuperating. You can imagine the impact that that had. And so that's kind of a neat story for us to tell. I mean, it's probably the only Civil War museum without any weapons in it because it's telling that story of compassion after the battles, and a very fitting story to tell here at Frederick. And then for those that are interested, you know, in the strategies of the generals, you can certainly follow that with the Civil War Trail driving tours. If you're going to Antietam or you're going to Gettysburg, certainly better known battlefields, those troop movements take you right through downtown Frederick, largest northern city that Lee ever occupied.
Now, speaking of troop movements and the wounded and so forth, I understand that the Landon House down in Urbana, that there were troops that went through there, and that was actually used as a hospital at some point in time, and that actually at some points the Union had control of it, and in some points the South, the Confederacy, had control of it.
Another story of property changing hands that happened multiple times during the war. Landon House is probably best known among the Civil War community as the site of Jeb Stuart's famed Sabers and Roses Ball.
Okay.
And that happened, and it is a stop on the Antietam campaign, the Civil War driving tour that follows the troop movements before the Battle of Antietam in 1862. When Stuart was here, you can learn the whole story by visiting Landon House, but as the story goes, was interested in a local young lady, but it would be unseemly for him to just invite her to visit, and so he arranged this ball you know, there would be a socially acceptable reason for her to visit, and that's how the Sabres and Roses Ball came about. The Confederate officers there, Jeb Stuart, of course, Confederate cavalry, and in the midst of this, they have to go dashing off for a skirmish down the road, but they do return, and so it's well known for that. But there are other compelling things. The Civil War graffiti from, I think it was Patience, while it was serving as a hospital, that did some sketches that are still preserved there.
And I understand some of that was Union soldiers drew Lincoln,
uh-huh.
And then some of it was the Southern drew their leader.
Right, and you can still see that today.
Yeah, that really illustrates what you're talking about a border situation and changing hands back and forth. Of course, that happened in other states as well, but probably not anywhere near as much as it happened in Maryland.
Well, and you know, the legend of Barbara Fritchie is a good example of that, where, you know, Frederick, the city of Frederick, had changed hands multiple times during the war, but this was fairly early during the first Confederate invasion when Confederate troops were in the city of Frederick, and of course all kinds of turmoil and excitement because of that happening, and some of the locals that were sympathetic to the South were happy about it, and the others that were pro-North were fearful. All of the folks that were flying the American flag, as we know it, or as it would have been in that day with 34 stars or whatever, took them down except for 95-year-old Barbara Fritchie, who lived on Patrick Street. And, of course, historians will dispute this. This is according to the poem by John Greenleaf Whittier that for decades and decades is what put Frederick on the map for folks from other areas, even other countries. But for folks not familiar with the poem, the Barbara Fritchie House is one of our sites along Patrick Street. It's on the Antietam Civil War Trail as well. The historians raised a question about that, and we argued back that, well, the poem happened. The poem got written during the Civil War, and it has a history of its own. And according to the poem, while everybody had taken down their Union flag so as not to provoke the Confederate troops, 95-year-old Barbara Fritchie has it flying. Stonewall Jackson is leading his troops. They're heading west out of Frederick. They're essentially on their way, although they don't know it at this point, to what will be the Battle of South Mountain, followed 3 days later by the Battle of Antietam. But as they're leaving Frederick, they see this flag. Stonewall, according to the poem, orders his troops to shoot it down. They shoot at it. The flagpole snaps. 95-year-old Barber reaches out, grabs the flag before it falls, and says, "Shoot if you must, this old gray head, but spare your country's flag," she said. Stonewall is embarrassed by the actions of his troops. Says, whoever harms a hair on yon gray head dies like a dog. March on, he said. And that's just part of a poem, which is also, by the way, where the phrase the clustered spires comes from. Frederick, known for its clustered spires skyline, that was popularized in the early, the first couple lines of the poem about Barbara Frietchie. And so that, for many decades, unfortunately, we don't get as many folks, certainly below a certain age, mm-hmm. that I won't say, but it's getting older. But just last week, we had a fellow in here who started reciting the poem, and mm-hmm. They come from all English-speaking parts of the world where they had to learn that poem by John Greenleaf Whittier. And so that's how many folks knew about Barbara Frietchie.
Now, do you have that poem on your website?
We have links to lots of sites, and you can get to the poem by going through and under both museums and historic sites, as well as Civil War. So depending on how you drill down, you'll...
Now, her house is a museum at this point in time, correct?
It is. It's actually a reconstruction. It's a good example of Frederick's early tourism efforts. The Tourism Council is 30 years old. It was October of 1976. And when you think about it, that was the National Bicentennial, and mm-hmm. Frederick, like lots of communities, was sprucing up, taking pride in its role in the nation's history. And that was when the Tourism Committee, then, of the Chamber of Commerce, decided that there really ought to be a separate organization focused just on that, because Frederick had a lot to be proud of. And they also saw the economic benefit of attracting visitors. And that's how we got started back then. And so the organization has grown. But if you go back much earlier to 1898, the decision to relocate Francis Scott Key's grave to the entrance of Mount Olivet Cemetery and build the monument over his grave, and also the decision in the 1920s to reconstruct Barbara Frietchie's house, which had been destroyed by a flood of the Carroll Creek in 1868, were in response to the fact that people were coming to Frederick because of this stuff. And it was not build it and they will come. It's they were coming. We better...
Better go ahead and build it for them to see it. Sure, sure. Now, talking about people coming here, and you touched on great places to eat and so on and so forth. Can you mention any specific places, or would that be not appropriate given your position with tourism?
Well, it's obviously a challenge. We're a membership organization, and we try to promote all of our members. If somebody comes in here and they're looking for a hotel or a restaurant, we help them narrow down their search just by asking them some questions. And very often, for instance, if they come into the Frederick Visitor Center at 19 East Church Street, it's very easy to, you know, if they're on foot and looking for a place to eat right then, we'll suggest they just, you know, head over a block or, you know, or half block to Market Street or Patrick Street and just take a couple minutes to walk up and down, because mm-hmm. we have so many great restaurants that it's a chance, because they have their menus posted outside and they'll have today's specials posted. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to get inspired as to which place to choose.
You might see something you like. Okay. And what about hotels and lodging, things like that? I'm assuming there are bed and breakfasts to choose from. There are conventional hotels.
Right.
The large chains.
Yep. We have the range, and depending on whether folks are looking for amenities like a swimming pool or an indoor pool or whatever, that will very often narrow down you know, the choices, or if they want to be in a specific location. So that's our job. It's to try to help people find what they're looking for, you know, and direct them.
Oh, by the way, I do need to mention this is brought to you by the Area Guides Network. This radio broadcast is sponsored by areaguides.com, so take a look at that website as well. And I also want to mention one of our sister websites, since we're talking about tourism and traveling and so forth, lakenorman.com. Lake Norman is a beautiful area outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. It's a 35-mile-long lake with a lot of NASCAR drivers have their homes on there and so forth, and it's becoming a destination in and of itself for people that want to relax on a lake. World-class fishing there. So if you're a fishing person, go to lakenorman.com. And again, your website address?
FrederickTourism.org.
FrederickTourism.org. And if you go to Frederick.com, keyword tourism, you'll also find a link to their website and some other information regarding tourism and so forth. Now, we're going to take a little break here, and we'll be right back with you live from tourism in downtown Frederick. Now, you have this location, and do you have other locations in Frederick County that they can go to?
The Tourism Council operates the Frederick Visitor Center on Church Street. The state of Maryland operates three welcome centers in other parts of the county, so we're very fortunate. There are about 13 in the whole state, and three of them are here in our county. So on Interstate 70, both eastbound and westbound atop South Mountain at the Frederick-Washington County line, and then coming south from Pennsylvania from the Gettysburg area along 15 at Emmitsburg, there's a newly rebuilt center that the state owns and operates.
Okay. All right, so this is Area Radio, arearadio.com, and we are live. We're going to take a short break here, and we'll be right back with you. Thanks for tuning in.
Area Radio, people, live events, and great music. We'll be right back with our live show. Please stay tuned. In the meantime, visit arearadio.com for a complete schedule of events and archived broadcasts.